In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
On that very hot day in the desert, Jesus assembles a multitude. Actually, the multitude are following him because they are literally hanging on his words, because his words speak of life. But more than that, it speaks of life that is more than the life that they are experiencing. The Lord is promising them something that, in a sense, is beyond their comprehension, but they can't keep away. They want more. And it is there in that very hot day that the disciples are looking at the multitude, and the day is starting to close, and the disciples are turning to the Lord and say, "Lord, what do we do? These people are hungry." You see the compassion of the disciples. They are concerned about all these people who are there. It's very interesting that they all came without provisions, except one group, and that was the apostles. They are the ones in this incident, in the loaves of the fishes, that brought the five loaves and two fishes. The Lord, as you know, responds. We know the Lord's response very well. You know, you feed them. The Lord is literally asking the apostles to give him everything that they have. In a sense, the five loaves and two fishes represent, on that day, literally all that the apostles own. And the apostles are just as hungry as the multitude are. But yet the Lord says, "You feed them." In other words, hand over your five loaves and two fishes. We know the rest of the story. Not only did the five loaves and two fishes, in a sense, return back again to the apostles who gave them to Jesus, but also fed the entire multitude. So what the apostles gave of their all to Jesus, Jesus gave them back tenfold. It's an antidote to our society sometimes that tends to clutch on things. We don't want to let go of things. And sometimes the Lord asks us to do just that. And it can take the form of many things. But our Lord is saying, in a sense, to those who we have compassion for, who are thinking of, he's saying to us, "You feed them." But the practical answer is, how do we do that? Well, one, in terms of feeding them, is praying for them, praying for those in need. That is food for them. Invisible food, nonetheless, but food. But also sometimes the Lord is asking us to give of something that we feel that we can't give. Sometimes it's so overwhelming that we feel it's just too much. And sometimes it's, "Well, Lord, this is the only thing I have. You want that too?" And the Lord says, "Yes, I want that too. Because I'm going to use that. And I'm going to use that for something that will literally, in a very real sense, amaze you. Because I am the Lord of all things. In fact, all the things that you own are basically loaned to you anyway." And so I think the watchword in our faith always is trusting in the Lord. So that when he seemingly asks the impossible, and we've had days like that, of course, when it seems like the Lord is asking the impossible, and the Lord turns to us and says, "Okay, but I want you. I want all of you now. I want the entire being of you. And I'm going to transform something through you. You're going to be my instrument. But I'm going to ask you to trust me in this. And you're going to receive back 100-fold. It's not that we're looking for a reward. Like, "Lord, if I do this for you, you're going to give me something back." No. It's basically much deeper than that. When we give of ourselves, we experience a heavenly joy that the world cannot give. That is our payback. And the joy is this: all of a sudden, when I gave it myself, all of a sudden, I literally gave it to the Lord. And the Lord blesses us. And in a very real sense, brings us close to him, embraces us as his friend, his co-worker, in a sense, his co-lover of those brothers and sisters who are in need. That's why in the epistle today of St. Paul to the Corinthians, no, he's talking about unity. He's talking about oneness. There's not this business of those who are in and those who are out. And we also know that one of the great hallmarks of the evil one is that of division. And so Paul is talking to us too, say, you know, we are all one. And when we have that realization that we are all one with one another, one with nature, one with the universe, with God within me, surrounding me, loving me in that oneness, then we have nothing to worry about. That's why our Lord constantly tells us, don't be afraid, don't worry, don't go crazy over things. I am with you, and I will restore what you feel is lost in a way that maybe you're not expecting, but you will receive me in it. And that is everything. And so our Lord is telling us today to trust him and to have this real assurance that, like the apostles on that very hot desert day, we are told by the Lord in no uncertain terms, you feed them. But then we have the assurance also, and don't be afraid, because I am with you always. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now and ever, and unto the ages of ages.
Amen.